shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. Hello and welcome to it, everybody. How you doing? Big day for a lot of things, including primary day in several states, including the state that I make my home in presently, which is Kansas. Yesterday, I had the chance to go to a little rally. It was kind of nice. It was a bunch of nice Christian people who would like babies to reach the birth and grow up to be people. Because there's a new survey out from, I think it was from Gallup, and it says that every person in the world came from a male and female, the male inseminating the female, the egg, and that's where we came from. I know I'm as surprised as you are. A little surprised. But I go up to this little protest. They had a bunch of nice people lined up along the street just across from where I work out of the old Planet Fitness. And they had their signs up there, and there's this amendment called Value Them Both. And it's kind of neat because, it supports the lives of babies. It does not get rid of abortion in the state of Kansas. It makes it incredibly early and very rare in Kansas. But right now, if you vote no on Value Them Both, you can get a baby aborted up to, 9 months or 10 months, whatever the gestation period is. So there's that. And then also it eliminates public funding for abortions, because there are a lot of people who, for instance, like me, I'm a Christian, and I don't want my money supporting somebody's abortion, right? We should be able to do that. It's always been verboten to pay for abortion with public money. Not so much anymore. But I'm standing there, and they got all these nice people there, and little old ladies and guys my age and teenagers, a lot of teenage girls there, and they're all waving the signs. And as I'm standing there, at least three people screaming by F you out the window of the car. Just, F you! F you! My abortion! My uterus! Keep your laws out of my uterus! You know what? I don't want anything to do with your uterus. None of your girl parts, or, what used to be girl parts. I don't care. But that's kind of the stuff that I saw yesterday. It was, it just kind of made me want to, get in my car and go after the car that yelled F you and beat the snot out of them. But I didn't. I was cool. I was like, okay, you know what? That's the way you want to be. That's the way you want to be. And I'm going to go ahead and support, and I'm going to go vote today after the show, and I'm going to vote for this amendment so that we don't have unfettered abortion in the state of Kansas. So there you go. And we can reach middle ground on some things, I guess, but with the radical left driving around in cars screaming, F you, get your laws out of my uterus, there's no reaching that. But I believe that there is, in this country right now, with 85% of us saying the country's going in the wrong direction, maybe we can come together on some other stuff. Like John Stewart yesterday had a come to Jesus moment yesterday on Capitol Hill. He was going after Jack Posobiec. He's this conservative journalist guy, and he was, screaming at the Republicans for not voting for supporting veterans who worked in burn pits and all this. And Jack Posobiec says, no, we're all for that. We're just not for the $400 billion in wasteful spending the Democrats want to attach to it like they always do. And after John Stewart did the same thing to some of these people in cars driving by the protests yesterday, which I, waved, hi, how you doing? Yeah, F you too. I didn't say that, actually. I just kind of said that in my head. But John Stewart then realized, oh, yeah, maybe this is just a political football for the Democrats. Oh, yeah. There is that. There is that. Nancy Pelosi's in Taiwan this morning, by the way. She landed successfully. Apparently, her broom was able to avoid radar. I know. I've been sitting on that one for a while. I shared that on social media yesterday. But she's in Taiwan this morning. She made it safely, apparently, and the Chinese backed off, their initial threat to go after her. And she's going over there to just say, thanks for all the products you've made for us, because half of the things in our house have things that say made in Taiwan. So I've got some information on that. I've got some information. I don't know if you knew this, but Joe Biden was awakened yesterday. Kind of like, hey, Joe. Yeah. Hey, man, you just killed a terrorist over there in Afghanistan. And, the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, number two in command to the guy who Joe Biden didn't want killed, Osama bin Laden. I don't know if you remember that 11 years ago. Barack Obama had an easy shot to take and sent in some of our special operators and went and found Osama bin Laden and blew him away. And Joe Biden was like, nope, we better not do that. But Joe Biden's been wrong about everything. But yesterday he was awakened from his slumber. and told, hey, man, guess what? We actually got that guy. And Joe Biden's like, what are you talking about, Donald Trump? And he goes, no, Zawahiri. He was the second in command of the Taliban, and we got him in Afghanistan. And Joe Biden's like, was he in a cave in Afghanistan hiding? And they said, no, he was right there on a balcony in the capital city because, you know, we pulled out of Afghanistan prematurely. Could go a million ways with that. And he just moved in, basically had a palatial estate right there in the Capitol. And so we were able to get him. We were able to get him. So that's good news. I'll explain why it took so long. You think about it, 9/11 happened 21 years ago. And isn't this kind of how the death penalty works in this country? I mean, how many appeals did we give the guy? It's a big victory, I guess, for Joe Biden when he needed a big victory, but it really wasn't a victory because this guy was able to move into Kabul and set up shop and have a palatial estate. I think it was featured on HGTV, Hamas Garden Television, I think it was. So we gave him a little makeover. I hope they did some before and after stuff, so. Just real quick, something I said a few weeks ago, and is true, which a lot of the times happens with, you know, particularly with the economy, just because I'm close to it. I don't live in a gated community, never been in a $20 billion house, let alone own one, even working in one. But a lot of Democrats in Washington, D.C. leave Washington, D.C. and live in houses like that, like Barack Obama or Joe Biden. Joe Biden still lives in Washington, D.C. in a $200 million house, but he has three houses worth about $10 million. Americans are relying on dollar stores to buy dinners and bulk items like groceries. Yeah, businesses surged 12.2%. Walmart not coming down any time on their prices, and they are experiencing a loss. But grocery sales at dollar stores spiked 71% between October 2021 and June 2022. Sales of same items in grocery stores dropped 5%. So people are going to Dollar General. I like to go to Dollar General. When I was driving on my vacation, we drove 2 days, a 7-day trip. We drove 4 days altogether to Florida. And we took back roads, and I noticed that all these towns, all these little towns like Laverne, Alabama, which is a lovely little town, by the way, we stopped by there, they all got Dollar General stores, and that's it. That's it. And I saw a bunch of people walking along the side of the road carrying Dollar General bags because their cars are broke down or they don't have cars. And I got thinking about this, and I think Michelle Obama, you know, she's got a chip on her shoulder the size of a 50-gallon drum, even though she's a very spoiled, entitled person who never really had a job but is incredibly, incredibly rich. But Michelle Obama used to call places that didn't have real grocery stores, she called them food deserts. They're food deserts. And really what Michelle Obama was talking about is really crappy inner-city neighborhoods in cities that are run by Democrats where stores wouldn't dare go in business because, you know, their cashiers will get shot to death every night trying to just do their job because the crime is so high. San Antonio resident Lily Penelope told the Wall Street Journal they began relying on local Dollar General stores for groceries, eating mostly canned chicken, peanut butter, and vegetables from the store. This is like me in college. In fact, that's actually living a little high on the hog. Did you hear they actually are putting cans of Spam in glass cases in bodegas in New York? I'm impersonating Jill Biden. Bodegas is what they're called, but she says they're bodegas. And they're putting these cans of Spam behind glass, essentially, these little cases. You know, sometimes you have to go to the store, and if you want, there are a variety of different things you cannot get because they're so darn expensive. They put them in glass cases so they're hard to steal. Used to be CDs, became like, condoms, and then over-the-counter medication. Have no idea. Anyway, they're starting to do that with Spam in New York because if you can afford Spam in Joe Biden's economy, you are living high on the hog. And it was funny. I saw him talking about it on Greg Gutfeld's show last night. And none of those people know what Spam costs. They're all like, you know. But honestly, to somebody who shops at Dollar General, Spam is pretty big deal. Five to $6 for a can of Spam. So if you go to Dollar General and you buy Spam, you must have won a couple dollars on your lottery ticket or something. But anyway, this this San Antonio resident said she's unable to drive due to a disability, can no longer afford the cost of both food from the grocery store and the cost of an Uber ride to get there. Previously, the total for such a trip was $120, but since January, that cost has nearly doubled. She said, my health and quality of life has gone down. I'm in a position where I'm having to choose between making meals I can afford and putting my health on the line. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know? But Joe Biden says that job growth is incredible, and any thought of a recession is malarkey. It's just not true. It's just not happening. 29% of Americans have to have a side hustle. That's a second job.
A recession, that is what we're in. No one can deny.
Except for everybody in the Biden administration.
The White House is a tempting spin, but the numbers do not lie. The GDP was negative for two quarters in a row.
Usually the definition.
That's a recession.
It is, yeah.
And it's always been time to face the music, Joe.
Or just...
You see, it's still a recession by any other name. Biden's denial is lame.
Yeah, but he got a terrorist.
A recession, that is what we've got. Joe and Janet Yellen are lying a lot. A recession by any other name. La la la, da da.
You bet that booty.
Biden, he is to blame.
Now, we got an Al-Qaeda leader, Ayman Zawahiri, got him yesterday. Cause for celebration. Now back to your spam. I've got some great audio with regard to the death of Zawahiri. They sent this, a drone strike. It was a targeted drone strike. They call this thing like the salad shooter. And what it does is it slices and dices and julienne. So apparently Al-Zawahiri is probably made into some American fries this morning. All of that, and we'll venture to some other things, including, Kamala Harris says that all the floods in Missouri and Kentucky were caused by climate change. And oddly enough, I lived in Missouri the last time they had the same kind of floods. It was 29 years ago. I'll share all of that. And your phone calls at 800-922-6680. This is The Rob Carson Show.
An election year, and a whole lot of Democrats have electile dysfunction.
That is simply not true.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Ayman al-Zawahiri. You know, Zawahiri was bin Laden's leader. He was with him the whole time. He was his number two man, his deputy at the time the terrorists attacked 9/11. He was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11. One of the most responsible for the attacks that murdered 2,977 people on America.
There's your great leader. There he is, presiding over the death of the Al-Qaeda boss, Ayman Zawahiri. Even though that Joe Biden could not pronounce his name, the attack followed a 20-year effort by U.S. officials to assassinate the terrorist. The only problem is undeniable truth is that the Taliban-controlled Afghanistan is still a safe haven for al-Qaeda. And Zawahiri had actually moved into Kabul and had a villa there. So it kind of made it pretty easy to go after Zawahiri after 20 years of search. Now, of course, Donald Trump, he went after an al-Qaeda leader, Qasem Soleimani, and Soleimani went to Iraq, and he was there at the airport. And Donald Trump made mincemeat out of him in his SUV after he bragged about having the ability to travel freely into places like Baghdad. But Zawahiri is standing on his deck there. He was hiding in plain sight. In other words, not hiding at all. But, you know, a victory is a victory, right? A V is a V for the Biden administration. And while they're trying to distract from so many terrible things that the president has done to the country, including abandoning Afghanistan and leaving Zawahiri and others with $85 billion worth of our military hardware. Other than that, you know, great job there, Joe Biden. Don't even just forget about all the women who are being enslaved in Afghanistan right now. And all of the girls who whose dreams of ever having a job, a career, or even an education. Other than that, we got that terrorist who was camped out, really, probably barbecuing on the, maybe some goat or something, on the balcony of his villa there in Kabul. Yeah, here is former Foreign Secretary of Great Britain, Jeremy Hunt, talking about the killing of al-Zawahiri by Joe Biden's CIA.
I'm afraid a lot of people will draw that inference, and I slightly draw that inference as well. I think that the withdrawal from Afghanistan was a very big low point for many, many reasons. But this was the most important thing of all. We were supposed to be negotiating that Afghanistan would not go back to being a harbour for terrorists. I think this indicates that we can't be sure that's not the case.
Yeah, but it makes them easier to kill, right? If this is the case, I mean, if all it takes is just kind of leaving a vacuum so they move into villas and they sit on their deck as we send in the salad shooter, which apparently is what this was. It was a multi-bladed instrument, just slices, dices, juliennes, the whole deal. Then I suggest that we just give up San Francisco. Just say, you know, honestly, we're going to pull out. We're going to pull out of San Francisco. Everybody else can stay there. And if any of you terrorists want to move in, you just go right ahead, and we'll pick you off on your deck. Yeah, here is Scott Lucas, the University of Birmingham, talking about the triumphant victory of Joe Biden over terrorism.
Well, I think from the point of view of all of us, it would have been really, really significant a decade ago.
Right.
There was that. Yeah, Osama bin Laden was killed a decade ago, and Joe Biden wasn't down for that. He didn't want to do it.
Osama bin Laden was, in fact, killed. Al-Qaeda as a global...
But he wasn't the president, and his approval rating wasn't lower than eczema.
...force is a spent force. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have local, as you might call it, franchises that have some influence, say in Yemen, say in North Africa. But the idea of a global terror campaign from these folks, they pretty much have faded. Indeed, they had been replaced by other groups, such as the Islamic State,
who
have been much more significant in recent years. Mm-hmm. That said...
And they now have their own country with $85 billion worth of our arms that are either being used by them or sold on the black market to our enemies.
In terms of our lives, for those of us who remember all the way back...
Other than that, great job.
Well, I think from the point of view of all of us, it would have been real.
Yeah, so let's go to Tariq in Ellicott City. Hello there, Tariq, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. Your thoughts on the killing of al-Zawahiri.
Yes, I really have to thank Mr. Biden for his efforts yesterday. He said something like, yes. So in honor of Mr. Biden's decision, with which I agree,
yes.
I have an idea for a new turkey sandwich.
Oh, what is it?
The al-Zawahiri. White meat, thinly sliced.
White meat, thinly sliced. Hold the veggies. All right, thank you. Thanks for the phone call. I'm not sure if it's completely white. It could be, you know. Anyway, well, thanks for the phone call. Wow. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi, she landed in Taiwan this morning. There was a good deal of saber rattling yesterday, and she made it in yesterday, apparently, that China didn't want to start a third world war. Of course, the Biden administration will make it look like it's some sort of a victory for their strong foreign policy. But I think the thing is that China really doesn't want to interrupt the gravy train, to be quite honest. The gravy train that has been started by Joe Biden over the years, and honestly, it only took about $30 million out of the billions and billions of dollars. Then there's the control of the $1.5 billion hedge fund that Hunter was going to take over. But it really actually was a pretty cheap investment when you think about it. Only $30 million, and you can buy the president of the United States and his son and his entire family. Here is John Kirby yesterday saying that we don't support Taiwan.
Repeatedly said that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence, and we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved.
Now, I've got some more audio on this we will get to. Going to get into Kamala Harris talking about global warming causing the same flood that happened 30 years ago in Missouri. We'll get to that. Your phone calls are welcome at 800-922-6680. This is a Tuesday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Let me just propose something to you, the possibility, because there's a good deal of saber-rattling by China with regard to Nancy Pelosi's possible visit to Taiwan, and that never happened. And let me just say this. For instance, Russia collusion was based on the possibility that Donald Trump was the desired candidate for Russia to run the United States. It would make no sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever to want Donald Trump in the White House if you were Russian at the time, because Hillary Clinton has already bought and paid for. She already sold 25% of our uranium reserves with the Uranium Run deal and got $150 million from Russian oligarchs while she was Secretary of State into her charity, which folded after she wasn't elected. Now, China is getting everything it wants from America. We just sent them 1 million barrels of oil from our strategic petroleum reserves. China is buying up farmland. China is selling us all of our batteries for electric cars, exclusively pretty much selling us all of our wind turbines for all of this nonsense to convert to green energy and all this. They are buying up farmland close to military bases. In other words, the United States of America is giving China everything it freaking wants. So do you suppose that maybe this was all kabuki theater? Do you suppose that this visit from Nancy Pelosi was merely there as a way to show some sort of strength, maybe some sort of pushback against China by the Biden administration without officially doing anything? I'm just throwing this out there because they're so ungodly crooked that it wouldn't surprise me at all. Nancy Pelosi, for no reason, going into Taiwan at a time when America is literally bent over an oil barrel for China, and Joe Biden in the pants of China, or vice versa. Do you suppose that you all maybe have been played? Just a little bit. Maybe you got your hackles up a little bit for nothing. Maybe this was just a way for, and it's kind of weird, right? Isn't it kind of weird that both of these victory laps happened on the same day? Isn't that just kind of weird? Today is a big primary day, and the election is coming up, and on the same day that our CIA finally targets Al-Zawahiri, whatever the hell, on his deck in Kabul, the same day Nancy Pelosi touches down in Taiwan to give China a little what fur, do you suppose maybe you might be being played just a little bit? China didn't have to do anything. As long as Joe Biden is in the office of the White House, China will get anything they want. They got tariffs lifted. Do you suppose that because of all the saber rattling that's going on with China, and they got tanks parked on beaches on the coast of China facing Taiwan and all that, do you suppose that maybe this was kind of a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the Biden administration? Because there's no reason why we should be provocative with China whatsoever. We're giving China everything they want. Everything they want. We're not on Taiwan's side. Joe Biden is not on Taiwan's side. The visit for Nancy Pelosi, honestly, tell me, distill into a thought, what benefit going to Taiwan is for the United States if Nancy Pelosi goes, when John Kirby said yesterday, we don't support the independence of Taiwan? What's the point? Why the hell did she do it? Very simply, there was no point. It was to pretend you're poking a paper tiger or a tiger. And then once you land the land, and then you've said, oh, well, they back down a little bit. Joe Biden is going to say, hey, you know, because you threatened us, because you said, you know, we're going to go ahead and we're going to double those tariffs. And we're going to stop selling you oil from our strategic oil reserve. And we're going to stop buying all of the batteries and all of the material. We're going to start a trade war with you. We don't want your goods anymore. Not one little bit. Not one little bit. I think this is all about polling. Because I wouldn't put it past them. Because they lie about everything. Here is Colonel Doug McGregor last night. He was talking to Tucker about China and Taiwan and Nancy Pelosi going to visit.
I think we have to admit that this is probably the most reckless and irresponsible administration in living memory.
Now, I don't disagree with that.
We don't have anyone that qualifies as a statesman.
No, because we have a bunch of children in charge, and we've got a vice president who's a complete moron.
Ship involves advancing American interests at the least cost to the American people. None of that is in play here. We're dealing with a group of posers, people who are posturing. Posturing is not statesmanship.
We've got a general in charge who is more concerned about white rage than our enemies.
And the American people need to understand
something. We got a woke military that literally is more concerned about pronouns than defending our country.
That no one has bothered to tell them that during World War II, Taiwan was the unsinkable aircraft carrier of the Imperial Japanese Armed Forces.
Yeah.
All the major...
It's a big deal. It's a big deal to China.
Major invasions of China were launched from Taiwan.
Which is so surprising that Taiwan did, or China did a stand down when Nancy Pelosi landed.
Beijing will not allow Taiwan to become...
It's like it was, maybe a setup.
A garrison state for American armed forces or Japanese armed forces or any foreign power. And if they think that we are going to ally ourselves with Taiwan, if they think we are going to intervene to defend that island in the event of a dispute, then we will be at war with China for the...
Okay. Last night I was watching TV and I was I don't doubt that China is our enemy. They are our enemy. They are after us, and they are taking advantage of a feeble president who's had a relationship with China and the Biden family for decades and made a lot of money. And again, most recently, lifting tariffs, sending 1 million barrels of oil from our strategic petroleum reserve for a time of war, unfettered access to American land purchases by China, real estate purchases by China. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Nancy Pelosi decides she's going to visit Taiwan. I don't know if you got a better excuse, if you got a better, reason for her going other than just to kind of on the same day that Joe Biden, after 21 years, after saying that he didn't think that going after bin Laden was a good idea and warned against it, would get al-Zawahiri 21 years later after 9/11 and 10 or 11 years after Osama bin Laden, on the same day that Nancy Pelosi decides she's going to fly into Taiwan. Just something doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right about it. Here's a little bit more from Colonel Doug McGregor. The interesting thing is how badly our military has slipped under the rule of Joe Biden. And it really has. As far as the number of troops who are signing up, as far as the number of troops who are leaving, as far as the number of troops who are going to be forced to leave because of the idiotic COVID vaccine mandate, etc. This administration is doing everything it can to weaken our military. And it's very, very obvious.
And frankly, there's an old adage that everyone should remember. A ship's a fool to fight a fort. You have to fight China from the sea. We can't win that. China can absorb everything we throw at it. And the Chinese are happy to sit there, let us travel thousands of miles to reach them, and then sink us.
There you go. All right. So I'm not saying I made up my mind about this, but would it surprise you if this was a setup to distract from all of the things that are happening with regard to Joe Biden, Hunter Biden's laptop, connection to China, all of the headlines we've read about China and our coziness with China and what we're giving up to China, the threat that China really poses to us, even though they've already getting everything we want. They're getting everything they want from this president. China doesn't need to go to war with the United States. We're giving it up. We're giving everything to China right now. Giving them everything they could possibly want, including draining our strategic petroleum reserve, becoming energy dependent on countries like Russia and not country, but OPEC, the oil-rich nations of the Middle East. Why would China need to go to war with us right now? There's no reason. They're getting everything they wanted, getting every stinking thing they wanted. And I just think it's kind of funny that on the same day, this happened this weekend. Ayman al-Zawahiri was killed, I guess, on Sunday at his safe house in Kabul. The one that had the deck, and I think they had a grill out there, and probably had some, child sex slaves tied up in the living room, that sort of thing. Because that's what they do over there in Afghanistan. And Joe Biden, of course, handed Afghanistan to Zawahiri and terrorists and left a lot of Americans there. But if you look at the polling, all-time lowest polling over the weekend, Kamala Harris at 26%, Joe Biden in the 30s. And then all of a sudden, 1-2, Zawahiri and China backs down on Taiwan. It's just kind of coincidental. That's all I got to say. 800-922-6680. Coming up, want to share Kamala Harris. She caught the stupid yesterday. Well, she's had the stupid for a while. There's some flooding that happens in our country, like in Missouri and Kentucky. Kamala Harris says that's because the government didn't spend enough on climate change. Have you noticed that the hot spell that Europe had has completely stopped, and all of the alarmism with regard to Europe being on fire because of climate change? You notice that all ended because some people figured out that it gets hot in the summertime? Now, I'm going to share the sound from Kamala Harris in just 1 second, and then also some hot primary action. Donald Trump endorses Eric in the state of Missouri, you're going to love this. 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show. Back in a sec.
To all the Brandons out there, we salute you. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So my producer in lovely Baltimore, Brian, said, hey, aren't we coming up on that anniversary of the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan by Joe Biden that demeaned and demoralized all of our forces and also shamed our country? Isn't that's coming up, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then I see this headline from July the 18th of this year on CNN. It says, Biden administration struggling how to mark anniversary of chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal. Huh, well, what could Joe Biden do in Afghanistan that would possibly distract from the unbelievable failure of his administration in Afghanistan? I'm thinking maybe going after Al-Qaeda number two, who literally had moved into Kabul because the United States was gone, moved into Kabul, had a palatial estate, was hanging out on the balcony, pretty much an easy target, not hiding in the mountains, not in some other country, not in Syria or something. He's right there. He's right. I think right at the base of his building, it said for lease. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda welcomes you. And I think it was a no pet deposit this month. Of course, over there, a pet is a young female. But anyway, so I kind of wonder, maybe this is kind of a setup, kind of a setup. See, the guy Soleimani that Donald Trump wanted to kill, he decided, because he was being arrogant, he would fly into Baghdad airport and act like he was the cock of the walk, as it were. And Donald Trump went right at him with a couple of drones, just his SUV. It was a very moist explosion. It was like, it was phew. But this time, Joe Biden sent the Gensu 3000. It's the slice and dice-o-matic. And made American fries out of Zawahiri, even though Zawahiri, it literally was hiding in plain sight. And CNN wondered, literally less than two weeks ago, Biden administration struggling how to mark the anniversary of the chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal. As the Biden administration approaches the 1 year of its chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, that's not very positive from CNN. It's struggling, like you'd need something that would really cut through that headline, Just slice right through that headline. Make you forget about all the agony that this unbelievably bad, possibly the worst military decision that America has ever made. It's almost like Joe Biden needed to distract from that coming up on the one-year anniversary of it. I don't know. These things just kind of come to me every once in a while. And I hate to think the worst of people, but we're dealing with the worst people. I like that, actually. I hate to think the worst of people, but we're dealing with the worst people. Because of the nature of the withdrawal from Kabul International Airport, where more than 100,000 people were frantically evacuated and 13 American service members were killed in a bombing attack, the commemorations will be careful not to be unduly celebratory, several officials told CNN. Instead, the expectation is that a range of administration officials and military personnel will talk about the service and sacrifice that was carried out. Or they could just go in and kill an Al-Qaeda member hiding in plain sight in Kabul, in the same city that we evacuated and American troops were murdered by a suicide bomber that was released from a Afghani prison by American forces, and he was able to go out and blow up a bunch of people. It's just kind of funny that way, right? It's just kind of funny. And then right, a couple days later, it's, China's threatening war, even though China, is getting everything they want. They don't even need, honestly, how often can you just move into a country, kind of unilaterally disarm it, get it to give up a million barrel of its petroleum reserve and send it to you, make the other country, your enemy, become completely dependent on your energy grid, buy and pay for the president of the United States and his family? And I mean, what else do you need? Buying up farmland, buying up land near military bases so you can eavesdrop on military communique or even interrupt guidance of missiles and drones. That sort of, why in the hell would China need to go to war? They're already winning. It's kind of like they were trying to, distract. Yeah, kind of funny. Kamala Harris. She has reached an unparalleled low point as far as approval is concerned. According to New York Magazine, should Joe Biden be unable to fulfill his duties as commander-in-chief or choose not to seek re-election, 19 months after her fawning cover on Vogue magazine, people in America are saying, wow, she's really not qualified. Yeah. She is actually at 26% and Biden is 31%. Doesn't help that she's been, given the czar position for a couple of things, and she has completely done a face plant, either intentionally or accidentally, because she's completely inept. I'm going to get to some audio from her with regard to the state of Missouri and flooding. And then, Donald Trump endorses Eric in the state of Missouri. And unfortunately, two Erics are running for the same the same office. So it was him kind of trolling him a little bit. I'll get to some of that audio and your phone calls. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Zenith Firearms is an American-owned and operated company based in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Central Virginia. Initially founded in 2014, Zenith built its reputation for superb customer service through firearm and ammunition imports. With many years of expertise in the platform, Zenith is now proudly manufacturing its own line of U.S.-made roller-delayed blowbacks. Zenith provides the American people with a premium product made right here in the United States, starting with the introductory model, the ZF5. Newly released in 2022, the ZF5 is based on the most popular and iconic 9mm submachine gun, the MP5. While the ZF5 is available immediately, Zenith's three compact personal defense models are available for pre-order and will begin shipping later this year. Zenith proudly supports our nation's military, law enforcement, and responsibly armed citizens protecting the Second Amendment. Check out Zenith Firearms at zenithfirearms.com. That's zenithfirearms.com, or like and subscribe to their social media pages.
Rob Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. Hour number two of the Rob Carson Show. It's primary day in places like Arizona, where Carrie Lake is running for governor. Go, Carrie. Woo! Go, Carrie. Other stuff going on. Joe Biden had a victory over the weekend. The CIA was able to kill a number two terrorist in Afghanistan. This coming up on the one-year anniversary of Joe Biden's chaotic withdrawal. And Joe Biden's other victory this morning is China suddenly backed down, even though they were getting everything they wanted from the United States. Nancy Pelosi was able to land in Taiwan this morning. It's almost like it was a setup, maybe a distraction. I don't know.
Nothing could be finer than Pelosi over China in the morning. On a broom was riding, she was really gliding in the morning.
It's Jim Gossett.
Pelosi is in Taiwan. Her husband was confused. Mm-hmm. Thought she said Taiwan on. He got alcohol infused.
That's a confusing thing.
Paul wanted to try it, to be the guy to fly it over China. It would have been unnerving to shoot a plane to swerving over China. Nancy's now in Taiwan and she's causing a stink. Paul's in a bar on his seventh drink. And nothing would be finer than Pelosi over China. Over China in the morning.
It's Jim Gossett. Two S's and two T's. JimGossettComedy.com. It is kind of interesting. A very provocative act to send America's number one Happy American Grandma. Think of that acronym for a second. America's Happy American Grandma flies into Taiwan out of nowhere on her own recognizance. Nobody had anything to say about it at all. She flies in. China says, oh, you're gonna cause a war, even though we are suckling on the teat of America in every way, shape, or form, and it would be completely destructive for China to give up that relationship. But let's go ahead and play along. Let's just go ahead and play along, and we'll pretend like, Joe, even though we're getting everything we want already, including, American farmland and American, it's becoming dependent on us for energy. And, there's the whole a million barrels of the petroleum reserve, a strategic petroleum reserve, sold to China last week. So it's not like all of a sudden Joe Biden just decided, well, you know what, we are just being pushed around by China. We need to give them a little what for. This on the same couple of days that, coming up on the anniversary of Afghanistan, the withdrawal, the embarrassing withdrawal, the worst move, strategic move by the American military in our history, essentially. 1 year anniversary coming up. We gave the country to the terrorists, and Zawahiri literally moved into Kabul, high profile location with a balcony. With a balcony. Because, he probably thought, now, man, I'm cool. We got $85 billion worth of military hardware. I'm not in any danger. And Joe Biden, we see eye to eye here, man. He's given everything we want. Why would he come after us unless it was, I don't know, to save his ass? Because, right now, worst president ever. Oh, I don't know if you knew this. When Nancy Pelosi goes to visit and meet the president of Taiwan, they have music set for her. Generally, when the president of the United States is there, they play Hail to the Chief. Not sure exactly what they play for Kamala Harris, the vice president, but this is the music they've chosen for Nancy Pelosi as she walks down there. Had these guards near her that had these tall hats, and they were carrying these big staffs with blades on the end. It was interesting. It was kind of interesting. So, I think that you've been played by this administration from the get-go. Would it surprise you that you're being played right now, just because Joe Biden's ratings are terrible? The midterms are coming up. The Afghanistan withdrawal anniversary is coming up. And literally on the 18th, CNN was going, what can China, Joe Biden do to distract from the impending anniversary, which was declared essentially disastrous by over 70% of the American public? It's kind of funny how that happens. Kamala Harris, She was talking to people in Missouri. Now, I lived in Missouri for 10 years. I went to school at Northwest Missouri State University, which I, by the way, have disowned because they fired a good president, John Jasinski. The Board of Regents there made a unilateral decision that was political, so I no longer affiliate with Northwest Missouri State University, home of the once mighty Bearcats. That aside, lived in Columbia, Missouri, did my first job there, and moved to Springfield, Missouri, did my second job there, met my wife there, did a lot of radio in, Kansas City, lived in Kansas. Live in Kansas City right now, for crying out loud. Live on the Kansas side. So I'm quite familiar with the state of Missouri and the Midwest, the Mississippi River Valley, if you will, all that. And there was a big old flood that happened in Missouri last week. And here is Kamala Harris saying that clearly it could have been prevented if the Congress had spent a bunch of money on nonsense.
For years, our nation and many of us have discussed, have lamented, have talked about the threat of climate change. For years, we debated the potential impact that climate change could have on our communities.
Floods happen.
On our country and our world.
If this were climate change, they'd be happening all over the place.
And today, we know the impact, if folks weren't clear about it before.
2 weeks ago, it was hot and dry where I live, and then it rained for 3 days. It's not climate change. That's called summer.
Just watch the evening news and see that the time for debate is long past.
Oh, I think it's just beginning.
Climate change has become a climate crisis. And
I think we're in a crisis.
Threat.
It's not between what's between the riverbanks. It's what's between your ears.
Has now become a reality. In recent days, deadly floods have swept through Missouri and Kentucky.
And they happen all the time.
Washing away entire neighborhoods, leaving at least 35 dead.
What about Europe? Last week it was Europe. There was a heat wave in Europe, and it was climate change. And then it wasn't hot anymore, because that's what happens in summer.
Including babies.
Oh, children. Babies. Bring up the babies here. The babies that survive the womb, they could drown because of climate change. Thank God we kill them in the womb.
As has been reported, 4 children from one family. So the devastation is real.
Wow, the pauses only make her stupid even louder.
The harm is real.
Now, I was in Missouri in 1993. Lived there until 1993, and the 100-year flood hit Missouri. And I actually helped to sandbag towns near Columbia, Missouri, Rocheport, which is quite lovely. You should go. The winery, the Le Bourgeois, is lovely. Also, Hartsburg and Harrisburg, 2 small towns along the Missouri River, which are known to flood. The Missouri River at Columbia literally went from about a quarter mile wide to about 5 miles wide. And oddly enough, you're going to think this is really weird, it was all contained in the flood basin of the river. All of the places that were flooded, all the farmland and everything, was in the floodplain of the river, which is what happens when the river floods. There literally was a little town right across the river from Jeff City. And every 5 or 10 years, it floods out. And finally, the politicians of Jeff City said, here's the deal. Let's just pay those people to get the hell out of there, because every frickin' couple years, it gets flooded out, because that's what happens in the floodplain of a major river. It happens all the time. Literally, if you look at above, satellite photos above the Mississippi River, you'll see the Mississippi River looks like a little string of spaghetti. And then when it floods, it becomes big and wide. And then when that water recedes, you see the floodplain where the water goes when it floods. That's one of the reasons why the dirt is so rich there, because all of the sediment that comes from upstream floods out into the floodplain, and that's why so many farmers choose to plant their crops there, and they roll the dice that every 10 years or so they might not be able to plant because there's going to be water standing in their fields. So this is nothing new. It just so happens I'm kind of hitting on all cylinders with like stuff that I know today. You know, it's just amazing what happens in your life that you can actually bring back, you know, later and maybe use it to prove a point. Like that farmers build, you know, they plow fields in floodplains because the water there, the soil is so rich. I drove to Omaha Council Bluffs to my hometown, Neola, Iowa, for my family reunion. My brother passed away 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, I-29 was closed in the Missouri River Valley. Do you know why? Because it flooded. It flooded. Yeah, and guess what? I don't think anybody was talking about climate change. They just said, oh, yeah, S happens when you have your house and your, you know, your farmland in the floodplain for the Missouri River. But oddly enough, it's kind of strange. I was able to drive up I-29 just like normal this time. And I saw all of the areas on either side of the highway that had been flooded because it's the Missouri River Valley, you see. So if climate change is real, if I'm not mistaken, I-29 should still be underwater and I should have had to take the other route like I did 4 years ago for my brother's funeral. It's kind of strange that way. But see, this is called capitalizing on a tragedy. That's why Kamala Harris mentioned the deaths of four children from one family. It's not that she gives a rat's behind about the children. She just wants to make a point about the spending plan that they want to do. Yeah. It's good to know these things. Good to know these things. So Eric Greitens is running in the state of Missouri against Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. They're both running for Senate. They're both named Eric. Donald Trump, his endorsement is kind of like if you kiss the ring of Donald Trump, you're going to get elected. Well, Donald Trump, I'm not sure if he's much of a fan of either of these Erics, so he just decided to endorse Eric. I will explain that coming up. Your calls are welcome at 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Driving snowflakes and candy aisle kids crazier every day. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up about in the hour, Carolyn Leavitt. She is a congressional candidate in New Hampshire. And we're going to talk a little bit about trans athletes and whatnot. And we've got some big news coming as far as the state of New Hampshire is concerned. And this show, by the way, is concerned. I can't spill the beans right now, but it's pretty cool. It is the show's growing pretty dramatically, and we're beating the competition in many markets around the country, and we're growing. Did you realize, and maybe it seems a lot longer, but the show's only been syndicated for 10 months. Yeah, the Rob Carson Show's been syndicated for 10 months, so it's making a difference. I think people are enjoying the mix of humor and, you know, all that stuff. So if you want to check out the podcast, by the way, it's called the Rob Carson Show Podcast. And you can listen to it on the usual digital platforms, maybe Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, iHeartMedia, etc. If you want a whole list of it, just go to newsmaxtv.com/podcasts. And if you would share it with other people, that would be huge because you're helping. You're making a big difference. I hear from people all the time. I'll get a call from, you know, New Hampshire. I'll get a call from Washington State. I'll get a call from wherever, even where there aren't stations, some of our affiliates. They'll be listening, and they'll say, Rob, there are a lot of people listening out here. What you say means a lot to them. And I hope that I can offer you a different perspective and also maybe buoy you when I can, using humor, while making a point. Because trust me, it's hard. And like last night, you know, if you were just watching TV, you'd think we're going to war with China today. And who the hell knows, to be quite honest. But I got to thinking about, you know, why Nancy Pelosi? It makes no sense for her to go over there and then China to suddenly flare its, you know, like that, in Jurassic Park when the guy who was on Seinfeld goes to the Jeep and all of a sudden the lizard's inside there and goes like that, you know, and then kills him. It's kind of like you're thinking, oh, man, they're going for the strike. And then you kind of like this morning, like, you know, why was she over there in the first place? And maybe this was all just to build up Joe Biden, because honestly, China's already getting what they want. They don't even need to go to war. We're bending over and taking one for the team right now from China in so many ways. Why in the hell would we need to? Why would China need to go to war with us? That would end all of the gravy train of America buying Chinese goods and sending our manufacturing over there. Why the hell would China want to declare war on the United States, which has supreme nuclear capabilities? We are slipping in a lot of other ways, but China's getting everything it already wants. They've got a Manchurian candidate in the White House. There you go. So Donald Trump, generally, if you get his endorsement, you're going to win. He's like 97 out of 100 so far in the primary season. And there's a race going on in Missouri. Eric Greitens is running against Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. Now, I don't know much about either one of these candidates. I do pay attention a little bit. I think that Eric Schmidt appears to be a little rhino-esque. And Eric Greitens just seems kind of messed up. This is a really messed up kind of guy. I got a good buddy who does news, and he's a radio host in St. Louis, and he's like, oh, yeah, we used to hang out with Eric and his wife and the kids, and, yeah, we don't hang out with him anymore. Why? Oh, you know, I'd really rather not talk about it. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, there's all sorts of allegations that he, you know, had sex with this woman, and he took pictures of her, and he tried to, and then that was supposedly a shakedown, you know, maybe, there's just a bunch of stuff. So, you know, there really is, I don't know if there's any benefit to endorsing either one of them. I suppose Greitens seems more Trumpian as far as policy is concerned, but, you know, got some serious flaws. So Donald Trump decides to say that he's going to endorse Eric. He's not going to be endorsing another person, Representative Vicky Hartzler, in the race, because she is a rhino. And so Eric Greitens and Eric Schmidt are running, and so Donald Trump decides that he is going to just endorse Eric. That's what he does, to play him a little bit. And of course, here's Eric Greitens this morning claiming that Donald Trump is endorsing him.
Team, we just got President Trump's endorsement, and we are honored to have it.
And of course, he didn't say our last name, but my name's Eric, so that certainly means that he's endorsing me.
He was very clear that he wants a MAGA champion. That's what I am. My opponent, Eric Schmidt, he's a rhino. President Trump was clear he wants a warrior. I'm a Navy SEAL. Eric Schmidt, it's a career politician.
And my name is Eric.
President Trump was...
Oh, wait.
It's also clear that he wants somebody who's going to fight for America, for his values. That's what I've always done. By contrast, just last night, President Trump blasted Eric Schmidt for great dishonesty in politics. The choice in this election...
So, I guess I'm the Eric then.
...election could not be clear. Let's get out and vote. Everybody...
Might have been more effective if your name was Sam or something, and he said Sam, and there wasn't another Sam in the race. I guess that would have been pretty cool.
Tomorrow...
So you're sitting in an audience, hey, Rob, you are awesome, man. You're the best fan ever. And I'm like, yeah. And then you realize there are like 50,000 other Robs in the audience.
Second, primary, Eric Greitens for the U.S. Senate.
There you go. So Trump slammed the Eric Schmidt campaign in a Truth Social post on Sunday. There was a poll commissioned by operatives associated with his campaign, which several GOP strategists told Breitbart, where I get this article, undercounted Trump's support in Missouri, with some suggesting it was done purposely to boost Schmidt's numbers. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me, to be quite honest. But that primary is going on, and you know, we'll see. Of all the things, I guess, you know, there are some candidates that just there's a clear cut. You've got to endorse them. Kerry Lake, to me personally, in Arizona, got to endorse. Doug Mastriano, Pennsylvania, got to endorse. Both have Trump endorsements, by the way. Dan Cox, Maryland, Trump endorsed. Clear cut. There's no other Dan. Donald Trump didn't go, I support Dan in Maryland. It was Dan Cox. That's it. First and second, unless there's another Dan Cox in Maryland. It's pretty sure who's going to be the guy who Donald Trump supports. All right, so coming up, I'm going to talk a little bit about trans athletes and whatnot. Carolyn Leavitt, she's running for Congress in New Hampshire. We're going to talk to her. Joe Manchin voting for the infrastructure bill. What's in that? And your phone calls, 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. We're on Fuego today. Stick around. rather live? Would you rather live in Russia or California at this point? That's it. That's, I got to tell you, that's kind of tough. I'm not sure if Moscow has, you know, piles of human feces and the crime rate that San Francisco and Los Angeles has. But, you know, things are kind of bad over there. This is kind of funny. This is kind of a little a palate cleanser, if you will. Russia has a new bizarre promotional video encouraged to have people immigrate to Russia. And the PSA is entitled "Time to Move to Russia." I wish I were kidding, but I'm not. The Russian embassy in Spain tweeted the 53 second clip with the PSA to get people to move to Russia. This is absolutely serious. Here is the PSA for moving to Russia.
This is Russia. Delicious cuisine. Beautiful women.
Yeah, they put beautiful women in the spot.
Cheap gas.
I mean, seriously, who hasn't got one of those emails? It's beautiful Russian women waiting for your, you know, you big fat toad that no American woman would ever consider.
Rich history. World famous literature.
If you don't mind the mass killings.
Unique architecture. Fertile soil. Cheap electricity and water.
Soil is fertilized with bodies of our enemies.
Ballet.
Both foreign and domestic. Mostly domestic.
Cheap taxi and delivery. Traditional values.
Traditional values. That's fantastic.
Christianity.
Oh, it's allowed now.
No cancel culture.
Well, I don't know. If Joseph Stalin were alive, he'd be saying otherwise.
Hospitality. Vodka.
Vodka. You can't forget the Chernobyl.
Economy that can withstand thousands of sanctions. Time to move to Russia.
This can't be serious.
Chum, don't delay. Winter is coming.
So that's... So which one is more believable or less believable? That or Gavin Newsom?
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom, it's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote.
See, at least, I guess, they're both pretty much lying.
Restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors.
Yeah, this is all a lie, so it's exactly like Russia.
The ad goes on to encourage Florida residents to, quote...
Yeah, they're trying to get people to move from Florida to to Russia. honestly, at this point, I mean, if you look at what's going on in our country, literally, we have a Democrat Party, we have a mainstream media, we have big social media. They are behaving exactly like, well, Stalin wanted things. He even created a department of misinformation and disinformation, you know, just like Stalin did. It's crazy. Hey, I am told that joining us on the Newsmax hotline is Carolyn Leavitt. Hello there, Carolyn. How are you today?
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm fantastic on the campaign trail, calling you live from the great state of New Hampshire. How are you doing?
I'm glorious. How is the how's the race going, by the way?
It's going very well. Thank you for asking. We are 5 weeks out from beating our establishment opponent, Matt Maurer, who was the chief of staff to Dr. Deborah Birx, who has been very hot in the news lately for lying to President Trump and forcing us all into COVID lockdown. So safe to say, my campaign is going great. We're earning support from the people every day, raising money, and we're going to win. And then we're going to beat my far-left Democrat incumbent representative, and I'm looking forward to doing that and serving in the House next year.
I hope so. Let's talk about, for those who don't know, and by the way, we've got a big announcement with regard to the show in the state of New Hampshire that I will share with you at a later day. But it's pretty gigantic. But let's talk about the state of New Hampshire. For those who don't know New Hampshire, a lot of people think, it's an eastern state. Nobody talks about it. But New Hampshire is a lot like Middle America in a number of ways. Why don't you explain to people what means the most to the people of New Hampshire?
Well, New Hampshire, we are the live, free, or die state.
Yes.
That is our motto. And so everything we do here, I mean, you really can feel it. When you come up through Massachusetts over our border. Liberty rings, I swear to God. We have a very strong Second Amendment culture here. We actually have more guns than we do people. One of the highest capacity of gun ownership of any state in this union. We have low crime, low unemployment, no sales tax, no income tax. We truly believe in economic freedom, personal responsibility. And so it's very important to me to continue sharing those values at the federal level, because we have four federal reps in our delegation. They're all far left Democrats.
Yeah.
My opponent votes with Pelosi 100% of the time. So New Hampshire is the last shining light of liberty in the Northeast. And that's why I'm fighting to continue to protect it.
What are people telling you on the stump? I read a story this morning that, you know, 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. More so, actually, they're not even making it to the paycheck. They're living on credit cards. The new place for people to go shopping is Dollar General. People are leaving Walmart because it's too expensive to shop at Dollar General. This is unbelievable. This is unnecessary. What are you hearing on the stump in New Hampshire from your future constituents about the state of the country and where we're going and where we need to go?
Voters want our representatives to stop the spending. They have passed socialist spending freeze. They're negotiating another $200 billion bill now. They've spent trillions of our taxpayer dollars, which has led to this inflation. Congress has to get serious about fiscal sanity, and we need to stop printing money that we do not have, which has led to this inflation. We are a cold weather state in the wintertime. It is going to be a very scary and dark winter for my constituents here. We're literally going to have to choose between eating or heating. That is not just a punchline. That is a legitimate reality for my future constituents. So when I go to Washington, it will be my utmost priority to stop this out-of-control spending, pass a balanced budget. We will not continue to raise the debt ceiling and kick this can down the road. We're seeing it with these short-term inflationary consequences. We have long-term consequences, too. Our national debt is crippling, and it's a national security risk. We're in bed with China. China owns us, and it's a very scary reality for the people here in New Hampshire and across our country as well.
Let me posit something to you this morning. This morning we saw Nancy Pelosi land in Taiwan. There was a lot of saber rattling yesterday. I was watching the news last night, and Tucker Carlson essentially was like saying, oh yeah, we're going to war with China. And for a while I was a little panicked about it. And then I kind of realized maybe this was just a giant stunt, because right now China is getting everything they can from the United States, dominating us in many, many ways, including sending a virus over here that killed about 1 million of us and shut down the country. Why in the hell would China need to go to war with the United States when they're already winning without firing a shot? I'd love your thoughts on that.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. The next war for our country is not going to be boots on the ground and shots fired. It's going to be an internal invasion from within, and China is already winning that. They're doing it by buying up and purchasing our farmland right near our military bases, by the way. They're doing it by stealing our intellectual property and data. They are doing it by controlling our social media apps like TikTok that my generation of Americans are completely addicted to. They're pushing very divisive rhetoric and ideologies that are dividing us based on race and gender and even vaccine status. This is all part of the Chinese communist playbook. They're tearing us apart from within and then taking advantage of us economically. And so to your point, they're already winning this war. That's why we must elect leaders like myself who are serious about combating the threats that China poses. We have to take very tangible legislative action at the federal level to stop the CCP's engagement and taking over of our country.
So let me ask you on a personal note. You're a young person. You are, I guess, Gen Z. You would consider yourself to be Gen Z, or are you borderline millennial? What would you consider yourself?
Yes, I am. In fact, I will be the youngest member of Congress in history, the youngest woman as well. Very proud of that. I will be 25 in a few weeks, right before my primary. So I make the cutoff as our founding fathers intended in our Constitution. And look, that's why I'm running. My generation lacks strong conservative voices. We have no one to look to on our side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And my generation is being brainwashed by the left in every institution in our country. It's my goal to change that tide so we as Republicans and conservatives can win elections and save our country from the socialist hellhole it is sadly becoming.
Let me ask you this. I've got a Gen Zer son who just landed his first gig out of college. He's 22. My daughter's going to be a senior in high school. Where did you get your tenacity? Where did you become so crystal clear? Because I don't want to focus on your age. Because you are who you are. It just happens that you're 24 years old. But what has driven you? What has gotten you to this point so passionate about the future of the country and your beliefs? Which, I mean, rock solid. Where did this come from?
Well, thank you. It started in my upbringing. I am the daughter of a Marine. My family is a small business family. Neither of my parents went to college, and they've worked very hard for everything they've earned. And so I was brought up among conservative values, which frankly are not conservative values. They're just American values. Love God, love our community, love our country, work hard, don't depend on the government. These are sadly values that are lost amongst the generation that myself and your son belong to. So it's my job to re-incentivize those, reinvigorate that love of our country that I was brought up within, and inspire young people not to depend on the government, but on themselves. The government is not going to save us. They're only making it worse, and we're seeing that now more than ever. So it's never been a better time to wake up my generation of voters with all of these terrible consequences of this administration, to teach them socialism doesn't work, it kills, and we have to run away from it as fast as we can.
How's polling going in New Hampshire? I haven't had the opportunity to see any new stuff this morning, but how is your message resonating with voters, and how optimistic are you with the coming election?
I am very confident that we are going to win this election. Our polling is looking great. We have absolutely surged. When I started this campaign 1 year ago, nobody knew who I was. I had $0 in my campaign account. We have raised over $1.4 million for this effort. We have raised more money from the people of New Hampshire, grassroots donations under $100, than any of our opponents in this primary by a landslide. So we are the grassroots chosen candidate. It's an honor to be running to represent my home district in Congress. We're going to win on the 13th of September. And like I said, we're going to go on to defeat the Democrat, who is polling numbers are abysmal, under 40% for the first time since he's been in office. Wow. So it's time for him to go home, and we're going to flip the seat red.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Caroline, I wish you the very best. I see you have some very prestigious endorsements from Ted Cruz, from Elise Stefanik, New York Congresswoman Kayleigh McEnany, among others. And I wish you the very best. For those who would like to support you, and I certainly would, where would you like people to go?
Please go to my website. It's carolineforcongress.com, and that's Caroline with a K, carolineforcongress.com. Every dollar counts in this fight. I'm up against the establishment in both the primary and the general election, and I am depending on patriots across our country to get me over the finish line. I'll always be a good conservative America First vote, and looking forward to changing the hearts and the minds of young people across this country as well. So appreciate all the support. carolineforcongress.com.
All right, Caroline, I greatly appreciate you joining me. I'll get in touch with you about the big news coming with regard to the show in New Hampshire. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, and hopefully that will happen before Election Day. But we're here for you, and we just want to wish you the very best, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, very good. Caroline for Congress with a K. Caroline for Congress, if you would like to support Caroline Leavitt. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Joe Biden has always been a punchline. Now he's just a joke. It's the Rob Carson Show.
You know, it's kind of weird. This monkeypox is being declared a national emergency. And no shutdowns involved here. There's no, you can't go to church. There's no, you got to shut down your business. None of that. It's a national emergency. It is a crisis in New York State and in California. Gavin Newsom has made it a statewide emergency. And where are the shutdowns? It would be politically incorrect to maybe target the behavior of a group. And listen, I don't care about gay, straight, otherwise, but we know right now 98% of the people who have monkeypox are men, 41% already HIV positive, 98% gay men, okay? Although even Bill Maher said that they are men who have sex with men. They're not even calling them gay men. They're calling them men who have sex with men because somebody's trying to cover something up. So I would just say, I remember going through this, right? Didn't we go through this in the early 80s when AIDS rolled around? And listen, there was a great deal of homophobia, obviously, in the early 80s. And there was a crisis in the community, and it was the gay community had already felt targeted in so many ways. I mean, it was gay bashing was for sport in the 70s and 80s. I get it. I completely get it. But political correctness ain't going to fix this either. And we'll get to this later in the show, should we have time to the show. But we don't need the entire country to shut down, but we do need those who are afflicted by this and appear right now. 98% are men who have sex with other men, frequently anonymously at raids, etc. Well, duh. You know, I mean, duh. And I think that most people who are gay go, yeah, you know, you're right. But there are a lot of people who are completely irresponsible. And like I said, we'll get into that. Speaking of irresponsible, how about Congress? How about that? How about you not being able to afford to shop at Walmart, so you go into the Dollar General? Well, Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer's $433 billion Inflation Reduction Act would raise taxes on Americans making less than $400,000 a year. I know, big surprise, right? Yeah. Republicans on the Senate Finance Committee commissioned a study over the weekend from a nonpartisan joint committee on taxation, and they say it's going to raise taxes. Duh. What I find to be so galling is that these jackweeds in Washington, D.C. would call this the name that they're calling it, the Inflation Reduction Act. Honestly, we're not stupid. We all know this is a massive slush fund. We all know this is about passing the Green New Deal without passing the Green New Deal. Joe Manchin knows this too. And the really sick thing about Joe Manchin is that he acts like he's down with the people of West Virginia, and he's not. Here is Corinne Jean-Pierre talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. It's called that because it reduces the inflation. Okay, here she is.
So the Inflation Reduction Act goes squarely at many of the biggest costs Americans face, like energy and health care.
Which you've already driven through the ceiling.
Giving families.
Which you were supposed to fix when Barack Obama was the president.
Vital breathing room while building on the unprecedented deficit reduction we have achieved.
All of the things she just said are things that Democrats have been saying they'd fix for 50 years. And until now, they have done D-word. I'm not going to say D-word for Richard anymore. I'm just going to say D-word, okay? They have done D-word.
With over...
Going to make you Richards mad.
$300 billion in savings for tax...
Yeah, you're lying. You lie, you lie, 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 lie.
There's that a host of economists confirm will fight inflation.
Yeah, a bunch of economists that are stamped and approved by the Democrat Party and lie about everything.
Larry Summers, who has been critical of some of our policies, is one of them. He said, quote, "It's fair to call it the Inflation Reduction Act because it's directly fighting..."
Now, please don't kill me.
"...the rate of inflation."
Now, what you may not remember is last year, Joe Manchin's wife would have received about $1 billion, a group that she works with, a commission, $1 billion for the federal government if it would have voted for the Green New Deal back then. Kind of makes you wonder, you know? We'll get to that after the top of next hour. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show, hour number three. By the way, getting ready to add another affiliate. The new WJFV AM 1650, the voice of Hampton Roads. Huge, huge, huge. And, well, let's just say a very large city and a very large radio station on the west, in the great northwest. I can't give you all the details, but that is coming up very soon as the show expands. Hey, did you hear that Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan this morning?
Nothing would be finer than Pelosi over China in the morning.
That's where she is.
On a broom was riding, she was really gliding in the morning. Pelosi is in Taiwan. Her husband Paul's confused. Thought she said Taiwan on alcohol he abused.
doing a corkscrew landing.
Paul wanted to try it, to be the guy to fly it over China. It would have been unnerving to shoot a plane that's swerving over China.
I don't know, where did we land?
Nancy's now in Taiwan and she's causing a stink. Paul's in a bar on his seventh drink, and nothing would be finer than Pelosi over China. Over China.
Is Jim Gossett, two S's and two T's, China. And, of course, yesterday China was going to go to war with us, and this morning Nancy Pelosi lands in Taiwan without a problem, which makes me kind of wonder, you know, if it was all kind of a setup, kind of a shakedown, kind of a put-on, kind of like China would never want to go to war with us because they'd have to sustain a war with the world's largest nuclear power. And they're suckling on the teat. And they have been for a very long time. So, you know, I don't want to, I certainly would not want to poo-poo what the Chinese communists would do. But it just kind of seems like this is the kind of thing that the Biden administration needed. You know, just kind of needed it right about now with, you know, midterms coming up. And also Zawahiri being killed over the weekend by the CIA 21 years into the war on terror after 9/11. And, we gave up Afghanistan, and Zawahiri is actually able to move into Kabul with his own, literally, I think he went to Facebook Marketplace and found the flat in Kabul, and he was hanging out on the, you know, on the patio when the CIA took him out. I want to mention also, if you get the chance, Dick Morris's new book is out. It's called, well, it's about Donald Trump running for president. He says that Donald Trump is going to win. I believe so. It's called The Return. And if you want a free copy of the book, the hardback, yeah, the hardcover, you could save almost $28. Just go to thereturn911.com. Do that today, will ya? TheReturn911.com for Dick Morris's for his new book. Now, there's a massive spending plan going through Congress, and Joe Manchin is on board, and it is going to raise taxes on people making under $400,000 a year. It is a and what I think really happened was that had Joe Manchin signed on to the original Build Back Better bill, this would have been catastrophic for him as a politician in West Virginia, and so he waited. I don't know if you knew this, but last year, this is a headline from, I believe it was July of last year. And this is from the Washington Examiner, I believe. And I'm just throwing this out there because it makes you kind of wonder. Because Joe Manchin has been on the right side of history with regard to getting rid of the filibuster. He said, no, we're not going to do that. And good, right? Commission run by the wife of Democrat West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin would receive $1 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Gail Connolly Manchin is the current co-chairman of the Appalachian Regional Commission and Economic Development Partnership between the federal government and 13 Appalachian states. The $1 billion distributed over 5 years, which was originally part of the Biden's America Jobs Plan infrastructure proposal that preceded the bipartisan bill, would fund the partnerships for opportunity, blah, 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 blah. In a statement last May, Gail Connolly Manchin said that the $1 billion would help the commission to more adequately meet the overwhelming needs of communities impacted by job losses resulted from the decline in the coal industry caused by, I don't know, the Biden administration and the Democrats. So maybe a little payback for the punishment that the Green New Deal would put upon those people who live in the Appalachian regions of the country. I'm just saying. Could be a possibility. Could be a possibility. It always is something with these people. Gay and bisexual men risk catching monkeypox. And the WHO is saying that you should reduce the number of sexual partners for the moment. For the moment, just calm yourself down, spray yourself with a hose, whatever it takes. 98% of cases detected since the outbreaks began have been among gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with them, and they need to take account of their actions and take steps to protect themselves. This according to the WHO. The WHO. New York has become the first U.S. state to declare monkeypox outbreak a disaster. Yeah, a disaster emergency. Governor Kathy Hochul What's up, Doc? Kathy Hochul has said that she's sounding the alarm as the number of cases hits 1,400 in New York. Now, this, of course, means that, I don't know, how many people in New York State? About 20 million? So your chances of getting it, unless you're going to a rave to have sex with a bunch of different men, pretty good chance you're not going to get it. Just saying. It just kind of happens that way. The disease is currently hitting gay men the hardest in New York, home of to the United States' largest LGBT communities. And we've done this before, right? Did you go through this? I went through this. I'm not gay or anything. But in the 80s, I remember AIDS coming around, and I remember there was a good deal of blowback from the community in places like San Francisco, because they said, hey, maybe we ought to just take a hiatus from the bathhouses and the other things and just kind of, you know, wait this out. And you can do what you want in your privacy of your whatever. If you want to do that, that's your business. But if this is a pandemic, and if we already know that 98% of those who have this just happen to be promiscuous gay men at raves or sex clubs, geez, don't you suppose that instead of making it a disaster emergency in the state of New York, which might impact the entire population, like they did with COVID, even though young children had no chance of dying of it, essentially, unless they had major comorbidities? But we are, of course, coming into an election here, a midterm election. Oh, and by the way, San Francisco did hold its kink and fetish festival on Sunday, despite the spread of monkeypox among gay men, is what they say here. Organizers said they took precautions such as putting booths 10 feet apart. Social distancing. I hate to tell you this. With monkeypox, social distancing could be a foot away from somebody. You just don't have sex with them at random. I'm just saying. There you go. There's your social distancing. How about you don't have sex, unprotected sex, with somebody in a public gathering, you know, whatever, or going to the kink and fetish festival to have sex with somebody you don't know. And listen, I'm not meaning to come down on gay people about this. I got no problem with gay people, but come on. By the way, this is what they said in the festival said, the Kink and Fetish Festival, by the way. I'm not sure if kids were allowed, because, you know, that's how they are in San Francisco. We're trying to keep people from smushing together. That's why you need to keep your distance. Oh, by the way, do you know what the event's called, the Kink and Fetish Festival? The Up Your Alley Festival is what they call it. Now, this is Dr. Leanna Nguyen. She made her presence known in the COVID debacle that was how we were played in the United States. Here she is talking about monkeypox and the crisis.
I think the biggest mistake was not having enough testing initially. The entire goal here was to identify individuals who have monkeypox. If we were able to find everyone who had monkeypox, then we are able to identify all their contacts. Monkeypox is very different from COVID. It's spread through direct prolonged contact.
Not coughing on somebody without a mask on.
Also, we know that if people get the vaccine early on in their exposure, that actually prevents them from getting monkeypox, and therefore that stops the chain of transmission. So we had an opportunity when there were relatively few cases to find everyone who had monkeypox, identify their contacts, known as ring vaccination, vaccinate all...
But why would you expect the government to get this right?
...their contacts, stop further transmission from occurring. The problem now is that because we didn't have enough testing to begin with, there are so many more cases that we don't even know...
And monkeypox has been around forever, by the way.
That's why we have to resort to vaccinating a much larger number of people.
And they got a vaccine already for it and everything. So why did they drop the ball this time? Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the U.S. has 2,890 diagnosed cases of the virus. Not necessarily a public health emergency at this point, since we know who's spreading it. Transition suspected to have occurred through sexual activity in 95% of persons with the infection. 98% of infections were gay or bisexual men. 1 in 3 people who tested positive for monkeypox had visited sex on-site venues within the past month, the study found, and 1 in 5 attended large gatherings such as pride events. The virus had a median number of the people who contracted it had a median number of sex partners, 5 in the last 3 months. That's boy, I tell you what, that's got so many notches on your bedpost, looks like a beaver was trying to cut it down. And 20% engaged in chemsex, which means sex under the influence of drugs. I'm assuming that's not Claritin. Not to cast aspersions on the gay community, because such practices occur in a subset of the LGBT community. This is typical of aggressively hypersexualized gay men. Here is Leanna Wynn. Despite all of this, we know exactly where it's coming from and the behavior, but we still need to declare a state of emergency.
I think that
because election.
There is still
not never mind.
A very small window for us to do that. And I do think it's time for the U.S. to declare a state of emergency as well. Because
and what would that entail? Maybe shutting things down? Maybe, I don't know, voting remotely?
That will allow for a much better coordinated response. It allowed the Biden administration to appoint a monkeypox czar to oversee.
Oh, we need a monkeypox czar. That'll do it.
These efforts. It will also allow for more.
Put Kamala Harris in charge of that.
Resources to be put into this as well. I hope.
We just need 15 days to stop the spread. Sorry about that term. I didn't
make that up. The window hasn't closed. I think that there is still an opportunity. And just to underscore why this is the case, monkeypox may not be as fatal as a lot of other illnesses, but we don't want another disease that we have to worry about in perpetuity if it takes.
Yeah, and plus also, you know, we're going to make this into a crisis so we can use it, which is what we always do.
Hold here. Also, we don't want it to affect the most vulnerable, including young children and pregnant women. That
and generally, pregnant women and young children don't go to chemsex parties, generally.
It hasn't really happened as much yet here in the U.S., but we want to contain it before that happens.
Okay, yeah, well, we don't need a state of emergency when you know where it's coming from, you know where it is, and you can actually tell people, you know, hey, let's kind of calm down for a second, give it a little break, a little 15-day action, maybe a couple months. You know, I might have to do that. All right, we've got on the way a 25-year-old trans cheerleader attempts to choke out a 17-year-old fellow cheerleader. No telling why a 25-year-old was in the same cheerleading squad as a 17-year-old, but we'll get to some of the audio on that, among other things. Your phone calls as well at 800-922-6680. This is The Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
My wife and I, when we lived in Minneapolis and then in D.C., we would occasionally go see a drag show because they were very entertaining. And there's a combination of a variety of things going on there. Part of it is a vaudevillian kind of approach to things, singing, comedy, whatnot. And we found it to be quite enjoyable. We used to go in Minneapolis. There was a drag performer up there who was called Miss Richfield 1985. It was a hilarious show. It was a really, really funny show. And for some reason, I don't know why, drag being a drag performer has suddenly become like this mainstream sage. You know, you should be able to read to children, you know, and you should be able to take your kids to the drag show. And it's absurd. And it's even become more sexualized than it has been in the past. We would go to the show in the mid-90s at this place called Gay 90s in Minneapolis. And there'd be, you know, different characters there, some dressed up like Marilyn Monroe. And you go there because you go, holy cow, that's a guy. I can't believe it. And then you'd also go, oh, my God, that's really a guy. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. My daughter watches this RuPaul's Drag Race show. I'm not crazy about it. I don't like it particularly. Not because I'm homophobic. I find it to be boring and trite and whatever. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we are being treating like drag performers like they're some sort of a patriot or some sort of a whatever. Here's AOC literally appearing with drag performers, drag queens. Let's call them what they are. Drag queens talking about their incredibly valuable contribution to society.
The people who change what people think are artists and drag queens. And let's not forget who threw that first brick at Stonewall.
Yes.
You know, that is what led to...
This is on Drag Race, by the way.
Passing the Equality Act in the House.
And RuPaul, I mean, a pretty good-looking woman when he gets all dressed up.
This term,
saying that.
Marriage equality, it starts with you. I mean, your patriots.
Okay, she's calling drag queens patriots. There you go.
You are. You are. You are patriots. And I'm so proud of you all. I'm so proud to live in this country with you and with your mother. And with all of us as family.
Thank you, girl.
We love you. You know, I'm looking at some of the names of some popular drag queens here, and you kind of wonder how seriously you need to take them. There's one named Sharon Needles. Sharon Needles. There's Kim Chi. Here's one, Penny Tration. Penny Tration. Watch the monkeypox. Trixie Mattel. Bag of Chips. Tess Tickle. Head of Lettuce is one of my favorites. Helluva Bottom Carter. Pandora Box. Eileen Dover. Wilma Fingerdo. Hold on. There's some other ones I can't say here. Oh, James Mansfield. That's good. Let's see. Venus Delight. That's about all I have there. But, you know, yeah. Really, I mean, okay. See. Again, you can be a drag queen and all that stuff. But honestly, they're performers, okay? There was a time, and I'm, you know, I'll probably get heat for this, but there was a time where people dressed up in face makeup and had a big red nose that honked, and they'd walk around with these giant shoes, and they'd flip around, they'd get out of a clown car and everything, and people would cheer them on. And if you look at drag queens, they're cartoonish like that, right? Right? Kind of along the same lines, kind of, I guess, taken originally from like Shakespearean times when male actors were the only ones who were allowed to act, and so men had to dress in drag and all of that stuff. So how serious do we need to take drag queens? And why have we taken this turn? I don't think it's good for the movement. What's going on with the sexualization of children when this belongs at a club, okay? This belongs at a club, at a performance, a body performance. And then we've also got the, men born men competing with women. And I found this story to be particularly troubling because there was a cheer camp at Ranger College. And it's in Texas. And I'll just go ahead and admit, this is kind of funny. I was a male cheerleader in high school. And the reason why I did it is because nobody had done it before. And I saw these college male cheerleaders and they were athletic and, you know, got to hang out with hot girls and everything. And get the crowd fired up. And I'm a performer, and I just decided to do it my senior year. And it was not an easy thing in Neola, Iowa, to be a male cheerleader. And I wasn't like, you know, fabulous Rob, the male cheerleader. It was, yeah, you know, hey, I'm Rob, I'm a male cheerleader. We're going to throw the girls up in the air. We're going to do all. So I went to I was the only guy at a cheerleading camp. Suckers! Except for some of the college cheerleaders are there. And I've even got pictures. I'll have to post it on social media. Yeah, I got to see it. It was a trip. It was really funny. But there was this this transgender cheerleader named Avery Chanel Medlock, 25 years old, booted from the Ranger College cheerleading camp. No telling why Avery Chanel Medlock, 25, was competing with a 17-year-old. But apparently, Avery got offended by a 17-year-old, tried to choke her out. I'm going to share the story and the audio from Avery Chanel Medlock, the cheerleader, after the bottom of the hour break. 800-922-6680. You just never know where the show's going to go, do you? It's the Rob Carson Show. It is the Rob Carson Show. Make sure to check out the podcast, will ya? Could you do that for me today? It is called the Rob Carson Show Podcast. It's about 2 hours long as the entire show. It features all the great guests we have. The comedy that I do with Mr. Jim Gossett, among others. And if you would, just go to newsmaxtv.com/podcast. That's where you can find all of it. You know, you're going to find it in Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that. If you're on Apple Podcasts, if you'd leave a 5-star review, that would be great. But it's called the Rob Carson Show Podcast. Share it with others because I think it's catching on. It is. You know, it's interesting. I was talking about this transgender cheerleader, Avery Chanel Medlock, or Chanel Medlock, 25 years old. I don't know why this person was going to Ranger College for their cheerleading camp. That's what they do in the summer, by the way. That's when they do the cheerleading camp. And by the way, I mentioned I was a cheerleader in high school. I know that sounds kind of strange. The reason why I wanted to do it, because I was very big in athletics and I like to work the crowd. And I said, hey, I'll do it my senior year. And you know what else I wanted to do? I wanted to be a drum major. You know why? Do you ever watch like one of the great marching bands? Like, and I used to watch some of the traditionally black universities like Grambling, and their drum major was always the most badass dude ever. And he'd be out there in front marching, dancing, just, I mean, I wanted to do that. I couldn't play a musical instrument. I tried the trumpet, but I thought that is somebody who is directing the band, and he's a performer, and I just thought it was cool. I thought it was cool, you know, whatever. And when I still see it today, I was like, dang, man, that is the coolest thing in the world to be a dancing drum major, just tearing it up, doing the James Brown splits and back up again. And all. I loved it. I thought it was cool. That's just me. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, transgender cheerleader Avery Chanel Medlock, 25, was booted from the cheer ranger camp, or the cheer camp at Ranger College. For allegedly assaulting a female cheerleader. Early morning on July 22nd, Medlock and another cheerleader only identified as Carly. Carly, stop it. Oh, my God, Carly. Oh, where's Megan? Is Megan here? Oh, my God. Which Megan are you talking about? Oh, M-E-G-H-A-N, not M-E-G-A-N or M-A-Y-G-A-N. No, it's the other one. It's the original Megan. Anyway, so Megan or Carly, I said, got into a verbal altercation, and Avery Chanel Medlock, 25, don't know why Avery Chanel met. Maybe she was in graduate school for cheerleading. I don't know. Apparently, Medlock alleges that a teammate made transphobic and racist remarks before the altercation. Sure, she did. With cell phone video showing other cheerleaders hiding in a room from an agitated Medlock. Apparently, Medlock tried to choke out this girl named Carly. Tried to choke out Carly. And then, of course, this Avery Chanel decided to make something out of it. Like, said that the other team member said, well, you got a penis, which is obvious. It's true. The person does have a penis. But anyway, Carly was apparently attacked by a cheer camp by her older trans teammate, Avery. Her dad said that she's not doing well. She blames herself. She should have just locked the door, let it blow over, and just come home. But apparently there was an altercation. And now this Avery, who's been kicked out, this Avery Michelle. My daughter's name is Avery. This is so weird, but not with an I-E, it's with a Y. Anyway, Medlock was booted from the cheerleading camp and given a criminal assault by a physical contact citation this week. Here's what Avery Medlock said. She said, well, guys, sure, I'm officially retired as a cheerleader as of last night at 5:30 a.m., which would have been this morning. A girl on the team was being very disrespectful to me and told me I am a man with a penis. This didn't happen when I was in high school, because everybody knew at the cheerleading camp that I was a guy with a penis, because I wore a male cheerleader outfit and I said I was a male cheerleader. Anyway, so that she said that the guys should not be on the team. I stood up for myself, and she called her mom and dad because she was scared because I stood up for myself, choked the life out, or tried to. Her father said she still has testosterone and a penis, and I will kill anyone who comes after my daughter. He didn't actually say that. What he said was, my son is gay, so don't tell me I'm effing homophobic. That's what the dad said. That's what the dad said. That said, here's some of the audio from Avery Chanel Medlock standing outside the locked door of the terrified cheerleader who she tried to choke out.
First of all, whoever.
Yeah, that's a female cheerleader.
In there, Presley, Kalani, Reagan, Courtney. Okay, well, I'm just letting you know.
This is a. I'm just going to say it. This is a 25-year-old person, born a male, talking like she's 12.
But outside of cheer with y'all, so after today, don't mean I want you. And Presley, Kalani.
Clearly has not had a voicectomy yet.
Whoever's in there, don't put me out the chair. Reagan, if you're in there, don't put me out the chair.
You're 25 years old at a high school cheer camp at a college in Texas. Seriously, WTH.
We're only teammates and that's it. Because at this point, y'all are taking it out of proportion. I was just joking with Carly.
I was joking.
I've never done anything mean to Carly. I've never done anything mean to Kalani, Presley, Reagan, or anything.
Presley, Reagan, oh my God, I can't believe you think I actually strangled y'all.
Reagan, those talk shit, you saying that you're fake, saying that you only want boys. They talk about you and Micah. So, yeah, watch your back.
That's kind of thready.
Fake. So, yeah. So if anyone has a problem, come address it to my face like an adult and stop being
a little. Yeah, there you go. I got to hear a little bit more. Hold on. Here's the kind of the threat here at the end there.
Fake. So, yeah. So if anyone has a problem, come address it to my face.
Well, we have a problem because usually girls aren't the bases. They're the flyers. I know this because I was a cheerleader, you see. I know. It's kind of weird, right? I just I wanted to do everything in high school. I was like, I acted, I was an athlete, all that. I stopped being an athlete. Let me explain. This is an aside. I was an athlete. I was terrible, you know, generally. I always put me in right field. Sorry, right fielders, but generally fat kids who aren't very, well, no, I'm going to insult everybody. Yeah, they put me in right field because I wasn't very good. And I was always big. I was the biggest kid in my class. I was always, through sixth grade. But my puberty, I grew before puberty, which would certainly qualify me, I guess, for transgender surgery or something now, right? But anyway, so I was in sixth grade. I weighed 170 pounds. I was like 5'9", 5'10". And I bided an entire tournament because they couldn't find another sixth grade big enough to wrestle me. And then in eighth grade, I was 6'1 and 245. About how big as I am right now. And so when I played football, we had seven games, and I remember I had like 35 quarterback sacks because it was like playing your dad. And whenever I'd do shot put and discus, I would just beat the hell out of the other kids because I was huge. So it was kind of like, I guess, what this Avery Chantel Johnson or whatever the hell her name was, kind of like that, I guess, but I was a guy, and I was competing with other guys, but the guys were kids, and I was just huge. And then one summer, I lost about 70 pounds. And then I just, I kind of move on from athletics because I didn't have the domination that I did. So I did cheerleading. I did that, acting and stuff. So anyway, listen to this. Now, I've been talking about this, what I call psychosexual assault. And that's what those girls went through at that cheerleading camp. It's called psychosexual assault. You can copyright that. Me, it's a Rob Carson expression. I just came up with it this weekend. But when you take girls who otherwise are girls and they compete with girls and they, generally, like for instance, Leah Thomas, a failed swimmer as a man, junior year, decides to become a girl, becomes the best girl swimmer in the entire country. And all of the women who competed up until that point, all of a sudden, we're competing with a man saying that he was a woman, despite the fact that he still had all of his man parts, his, twig and berries, the whole deal, and would actually shower in the same shower room with women, with the twigs and berries hanging out there, and the girls could do nothing about it. And I remember I was talking about this cheerleader, this girl from Kentucky, woman from Kentucky. And she said that first time that Leah Thomas came and competed, they watched Leah Thomas win by 38 seconds, the 500 meter, and they all just kind of got together afterwards, shell-shocked, and went, what the hell just happened to us? And they looked at each other, and they're like, we just had our dreams wrecked? And on top of that, we have to act like that's not a man in the locker room with us in our most vulnerable time when we are in a place that we need modesty. And to me, those are the hallmarks of a sexual assault. That you move into a place of otherwise security and dominate a woman and then leave her sitting there going, what the hell just happened? What just happened to me? And they went to the university officials and said, you can't do this. We've worked our whole lives for this. What are you doing to us? What are you doing? And they were so awful that they even, one time, this Leah Thomas competed with one woman and they tied. And they tied and they were supposed to both get a trophy for either first or second place. And the officials of the university said, we're going to go ahead and give the trophy to Leah Thomas and let her stand on the pedestal and we'll mail you yours. That's psychosexual assault. And this nonsense has to end. And if women weren't pissed about this before, they should be pissed about this now. And there's nobody else on the radio saying it this way, because that's what it is. And listen to this. At the BBC, the glorious BBC, there are women at the BBC saying that the broadcaster is now disappearing women by allowing gender quotas to be filled with trans individuals. So in a broadcast business dominated by men, where women are finally moving up, now women are finding themselves displaced by men claiming to be women. Isn't that remarkable? Now, Mary Walter filled in for me last Friday, and I greatly, and she is a freaking talent. I love me some Mary Walter. She's glorious. And I joked with her because she just won the women's equivalent of a Marconi. And she's won several. They're called Gracies. And she did it because she's an outstanding broadcaster. She's really good at what she does. She's a thought leader. She's glorious. And she won a Gracie. And I joked with her. I said, I haven't won a Marconi yet. Thank you. Anybody from the Marconi is listening. I'm right here if you need me. Right over here. Hello, Marconis. Doo-doo-doo. Hello. I said, you know, maybe I should just compete with women and get a Gracie. Now, I, of course, was joking, because in broadcasting, it's a little bit different, because you have to combine different abilities, entertain, inform, connect, all of these things. So it wouldn't be like going in and being in a swim meet with women where I have a wingspan, the size of a 747, and I'm competing with women who are a foot shorter than me. It would be a little bit more of an even situation because, you know, broadcasting is different. But I suggested that I identify as a woman and try to get a Gracie. Of course, I was joking. Of course, I was joking. But I'm going to share with you in just a second the largest, the National Institute of Health in Great Britain has shut down a facility called the Tavistock facility, which was England's hub for child gender reassignment. And it's been ordered to shut down. And it's left thousands of damaged children in its wake. I'm going to share you the story. I'm going to share the story of this coming up because I think it's important. On the heels of the last half hour of content with regard to gender confusion and whatnot. That's coming up, by the way. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
For all those who are sick and tired of people moving to D.C. and spending their entire lives telling us how to live ours, it's The Rob Carson Show.
If you get the chance to, you want a free book. Dick Morris's The Return is in bookstores everywhere. You can get a free copy. Save yourself about $28. Just go to thereturn911.com. Thereturn911.com talks about Donald Trump's ascension to power and the three things, the three threats that he faces. Again, it's thereturn911.com. Let's go to Frank in lovely Gettysburg. Hello there, Frank. What is on your mind today, my friend?
Hey, Rob. How are you doing there?
Glorious, buddy. What's up?
So we're talking about transgender and things like that, and you made a statement about you went to a drag show, I am not homophobic. And my take on this is
yes.
The word phobic
yeah.
is to have a fear of something. If you're claustrophobic, you're afraid of tight spaces.
Of course.
So phobia doesn't mean that someone is bad or wrong.
Yeah.
So I think with our changing of words in the last 10 years, like recession,
yeah,
and a lot of other terms. We've gotten into this thing, and the liberals have owned us on it,
yeah,
where they can label someone transphobic, homophobic, isophobic, and thatophobic, and it means that you or me are a bad person because of our view.
Yeah.
Now, as a Christian man, I do have a fear of certain lifestyles, which somebody may say, well, then you're blank phobic.
Yeah, yeah.
But according to the way I believe in my belief system, which lines up with Scripture, I don't feel that that's a bad thing. I'm a conservative Christian man.
But you don't hate people. But Frank, you don't hate gay people, and you don't hate.
No, I don't. I work for a.
There you go.
I work for an employer, and my boss is a gay man, but he's also a decent man, and I don't hate him.
You bet. But that's what they're trying to do, Frank. When they use the word transphobic, homophobic, they are trying to label you as somebody who hates them. If you don't believe in gay marriage and a gay couple decides just to pick on your bake shop because they think they can make a point by making a Christian make you a cake, that's just being a D word. All right. And that is not it is your belief. I'm sorry. That's just your belief. You believe, according to your church, that a man and a woman are to be married. That is in the church. If you don't want to get married in that church doesn't allow it, go to another church. That's why I think government should stay the hell out of marriage. As far as homophobic, what they're trying to do is paint people who disagree with the lifestyle as hating them. And it's not the case, Frank. Christians don't hate. Go ahead.
No, we don't, and that's my point. And I feel as a conservative, as a Christian, I don't think we should let liberals own us on this. I think we ought to stand our ground and not allow them to box us into a corner. You know,
yeah, Frank, and I want to also say, Frank, I'm going to say, as somebody who is literally, I introduced a lesbian couple at their reception. I was presiding in a gay wedding with some friends of mine who are very dear friends who committed themselves to life, and I love them very, very dearly. One of them is no longer with us. We don't hate people. We're not here to tell you, preach to you, that your life is your life, but we don't hate. That's the most important thing. We don't hate you because you who you are. We may disagree on our Christian principles with you. Frank, I got to go, buddy. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're always a great caller, but we have to come back and wrap things up in just 1 second. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Stick around. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. Tomorrow I'll get into this Tavistock Gender Identity Development Service in England. It's been shut down. They have been transgendering assigning puberty blockers and surgery for kids for a number of years. They've been shut down, and this movement is beginning to spread worldwide. It would make Josef Mengele proud what they've done to prepubescent children with confusing them and then altering them with hormones and surgery. It's ridiculous. Have a glorious day, guys. I will see you tomorrow. Check out the podcast. Go to newsmaxtv.com/podcast. God bless you and your family, our first responders and military. And until tomorrow, don't do like Kamala Harris. Don't catch the stupid. See you then.